I read beginning at verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. And then he says in verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In the bowels of Jesus Christ. The word bowels is the word splagnon, and literally in the scriptures, in the dozen or so references that you find this in the New Testament, it has to do with internal organs, and it is from a root word, from spleen, and you find it in its most literal form in a reference to Judas in Acts chapter 1 verse 18, where it says there, in describing the after effects of what happened, who falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's the literal rendering of the word Judas. Now, whereas that is literal, you have a figurative brush, and it gives the luster of its primary intent, and that is something that means inward affection. Inward affection, as seen with Titus. If you just keep your place here, look in 2 Corinthians 7. There are several verses there that you need to see. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. Inward affection, with reference to Titus, where splagnon is translated such. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 7, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I'm not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found the truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. So there you have in verse 15, splagnon translated inward affection. Then, and that's the essential meaning. And as a matter of fact, this sense is very similar to what you find in three separate references in the book of Philemon. You'll find it in Philemon, the 7th verse, the 12th verse, and the 20th verse, and with this idea, where Paul, when he applies the word to Philemon, says that the action of that inward affection served to refresh him. To refresh him. So when you think about that, we will note this to get off and running, that we see in a refreshed bowel is a healthy bowel, if you understand it to mean inward affection. Now there's a contrast to that, a graphic opposite found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 3 verse 17. The 16th verse there says, hereby perceive we the love of God. That's at least inward affection on the part of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That at least speaks something about inward affection, at the very least. Then verse 17 says, But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now that notion there, the phrase shutteth up his bowels, speaks about a restricted movement, a restricted bowel. And we can say that when that is the case, it's sick. It is not healthy. It's not spiritually healthy. And may I say that if we apply it as we should to the heart of things, it is probably attributed to a lack of consistent upreach on the part of the child of God. A restricted bowel, an unhealthy bowel, where there is no inward affection that is horizontally displayed and laid out from brother to brother, is an indication of a lack of upreach, where there is that is a short circuiting of that vertical, very necessary vertical relationship that the child of God ought to have with the Father. So there you see a very graphic opposite in 1 John 3:17. Now, when you go back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if any inward affection that emits mercies, pity, if there be. Now, of course, verse 1, inasmuch as the word therefore is inserted, it points us back into the previous chapter, and I would have you look with me at verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And then verse 1 says, if there be, and we would fast forward that to the end of the verse, any bowels and mercies, any inward affection. Where does that come from? I say again, that inward affection that is naturally displayed among the brethren in a local church directly comes from the vertical relationship that the child of God has with the Father. And absent a consistent vertical devotional relationship with the Father, there will not be the bowels of mercy, and the bowel then is not healthy. It is restricted. It's all plugged up and unable to function properly. Not a healthy thing. Now, when we think about this matter of inward affection, he says, fulfill ye my joy. A healthy bowel makes for a happy heart. You agree with me? A happy bowel or a healthy bowel makes for a happy heart. Let me take you to another place in the scripture. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, Now, let me just stop here and just inject something. Probably for as long as I've been studying Scripture, and whenever I first became clear on the doctrines of the sovereignty of God, I've always heard or seen in print concerns that genuine souls had as to whether or not they were able to find out if they were elect or not. Usually, always, the concern was in the heart of a person who wanted to know that before they ever trusted Christ. But sometimes, those who have made a profession of faith, sometimes will express that in so many words, wondering whether or not they've been chosen by God, really. And they have questioned the authenticity of their profession of faith. Now, when you look at verse number 12, it says, put on therefore, that therefore goes back again into the previous statements, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. First of all, if there's a concern about your status with God, whether or not you've ever been chosen of God, ask the question this: are you holy? Are you typically, routinely holy? Do you have in your heart a hatred, a holy hatred for sin? Then it goes on, says, put on therefore, and by the way, the put on suggests to us the action of an individual putting on a garment as a piece of clothing, a dress or shirt or something. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, splagnon, inward affection. One of the things that comes with the package of the elect of God is a supernatural placement of inward affection in the heart of the one redeemed for ones who are redeemed. I think the Apostle John and his five little chapters in that book clarifies that. You cannot possibly say I love God and hate the brother. Impossible. Inward affection. Now, inasmuch as that bowel is healthy, notice how that works. Look at the things that follow. Bowels of mercies comes from a word just... we would maybe say another way, pity for people. Pity. Do you realize how hard it is to pity people? Life is so fast, hearts are so cold and hard sometimes, that even in the most dire need of an individual, there is not a capacity to give or render pity to that person, to show pity to the person. Everything is cold and calculated. Not that there's not a willingness to want to do something or contribute or help, but only if it meets my certain narrow criteria, if I have the time. And then you have the next thing there, humbleness of mind. Comes from a word that suggests an unassuming humility. An unassuming humility. And by that I mean to say that sometimes people find it easy to be humble when there's something in it for them. Whereas unassuming humility is that which is found in a person who is noted for humility without any thought of a payback due to that quality in the life. Humbleness of mind. And then the next one is meekness. This all, comes out of a healthy bowel. Meekness. Gentleness. Gentleness. And long-suffering is the next one. Long-suffering. It probably, you might say, certainly speaks to patience of one kind. But sometimes we fail to understand that there is a link to patience that involves fortitude. Sometimes it takes courage to be patient in the midst of adverse circumstance. So there is that long suffering. And then in 13, verse 13, talks about forbearing. Now this is probably, this again comes out of a healthy bowel, and it simply means to put up with something that you'd rather not, but doing it graciously. Therein lies the difficulty. A lot of people got, how do you say, hide as thick as a rhinoceros. Everything that happens to them sort of like beats and runs off their back. But then when you put the supernatural fortification there of that which is graciously putting up with, something you'd just rather not, but hey, it's there. Deal with it. It doesn't mean that you have to be like the court jester and grin and jump and make jokes and all that kind of stuff. You just graciously endure. And then it goes hand in hand with the next item in verse 13. Forgiving one another. Kindly pardoning someone. Now, when we think about forgiveness, there's a standard. There's a standard. The human being sometimes will think of forgiveness this way. An offense is committed, an egregious offense. Person's been wounded, hurt deeply. The other person comes and says they're sorry, they apologize. And the offended party says, well, I forgive you. And they mean it. They forgive. They set it aside. But sometimes they fail to realize what the divine standard is on the forgiveness. Because over and over you will find in the scriptures, as you might even do here in this context, is forgive even as you were forgiven. Now, when we say that, God forgave you through the shed blood of Christ in such a way as to not only kindly pardon you, but put it in a place that He will never dredge it up again and dangle before you should you fail again. Forgives you. Now the human being sometimes will say, I forgive you, everything's okay, we're cool, no problem. But then as soon as you mess up again, out comes that offense from the deep recesses of the memory. Perhaps they even take notes on it and say, I remember when you did this or said this. I got the date and the time you said that. Look at that. Here you are again. Now, if you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you find something out there about forgiveness, the duration of it, the quality of it. Now, when I began, I said, you need to hear this about the healthy bowel. And basically, we come back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, in its surrounding context, right here with Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And you understand this, that when we speak about a healthy bowel, we're speaking about happy people. We're speaking about the inward affection that is transmitted from husband to wife, from brother to sister, Christian to Christian, in this assembly, across the line into another assembly of like precious faith. Inward affection. That's something you can't manufacture. You can't put on airs and have that stick. You just can't. How many of you would be confident tonight? Be absolutely confident. Matter of fact, you would give up a month's income. I'm not saying to bet it now. You'd be willing to give up a month's income on this premise. You feel so confident in your ability to be able to detect authenticity in the action and life of another person concerning you. How many of you are able to hold it up to the light of Scripture, so to speak, see through it for what it is? To evaluate what you see on the outside with what is the reality on the inside and be sure that you got it right. Because the inreach, the inward affection that comes out of the upreach, the relationship to God, cannot be manufactured. You can't pick up the latest book in the Christian library and read up on it and get boned up on it, so to speak, and then implement it with five or six how-to-do rules. Can't. It just can't. It's either there by virtue of the Spirit's presence or it's not. Now, in an ideal setting, it would be always constant. But you know and I know that we still have to fight with the sin nature. And though it's crucified and rendered impotent, and though we have been freed from its shackles, yet sometimes it sneaks up like a serpent and bites, and we have to deal with that. So in an ideal world, that kind of inward affection would be all the time constant. No interruptions, no roller coaster, just the same. Always coming up to the standard that God would have for us. But inasmuch as it's not, we have to trace it back whenever you sense that your heart has grown cold and fellowship with the brothers becomes optional. Then I would suggest that you do what I do when I find myself in the same kind of a situation, is go back to the cross and there look up to my Redeemer and get right with Him. And to maintain that relationship, that abiding relationship that Jesus Himself speaks about in John 15. And once that's on track, then everything just flows out from there. Healthy bowel. Healthy bowel. And one thing that cannot be disputed by those who are outside the walls of the church, one thing cannot be disputed, though they may not understand it or agree with it, they cannot dispute the reality of the love of God that is on display among the people of God. Can't dispute it, and it's very attractive. Because you see, they live in a world where it's dog eat dog. I'll step on you if it serves my purpose to get ahead of you. In the Christian community, that's not the way, because you see, right here in the book of Philippians, we are admonished to let every man think of others, what? Better. Higher. And we sing that little kiddo song, Jesus, others, and you, which spells joy. And remember what I said, a healthy bowel is a happy bowel. Let's pray together.